Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I'm your host John, and today we're here to talk about Southampton 1, Arsenal 1. Semi-cursed. We didn't lose, but we didn't win. So getting better. Not quite the present centre that I asked for, but I'll take it for now. Today I have with me Mr. Josh Dahl. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty well. I had to pull a little deal with the devil to make sure we got an equaliser, but otherwise fairly happy with the result.
We kind of can't work out whether me or Josh hosting is going to make our results any better at the moment, so we might have to get Jason back for the rest of the season, otherwise we're just going to struggle to do anything. We also have Mr. Ellis Mel. You're right, El, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I suppose a bit happier than I could have been. not too bad at all, really.
Hello to everyone in the chat box. See you all in there nice and early as always. J Rob Lambs, Daniel Arkech, Pablo Omar, Jovi82, Daniel Cronin, and 23510. All the usual faces. Nice to see you all in there as usual. Is it snowing where you are, Ellis? Have you got the snow? Did you get the snow?
No. Actually looked outside for a while. I had to actually check then. No, it's definitely not snowing in Norwich.
As you can tell, I always look like this, but I actually haven't been up that long. I did get up for the game. But Ellis is a little bit tired because he's been on nights and he has a proper job. He actually helps people. Doesn't really matter what I do. Don't worry about that. Josh, have you got snow?
No, I'm on the south coast. So same as Southampton, which got shitloads of rain and that's it.
You can't see out my window, but yeah, that shiny white brightness, it is that white outside. It is very heavy snow here in Essex. Not that anyone cares. Sorry, I was trying to make the show a bit more interesting because that game was fucking dreadful. But I guess we should talk about it now. We'll start with the lineups as usual. Only big change was not really a big change. Mertesacker coming in for Mustafi. Josh, was that your first choice? Obviously, Mustafi picked up the injury in a Man United game. Would you have wanted to see, I don't know, maybe Callum Chambers or Rob Holding, or would you have gone to the back four that we saw midweek?
So I would have gone back to the back four that we saw at the end of the Man United game, personally. And I'd look to have also probably have dropped Alexis. After the game, I definitely would have dropped Alexis if he was going to drop a 2 out of 10. But otherwise, I was fairly happy. I was a little bit surprised Theo didn't make the bench after being involved in all four goals that he was on the pitch for. But other than that, I was fairly happy that, you know, three at the back has been what we've been doing for most of the season. So wasn't overly surprised that we hadn't changed. But personally, with more games coming up and injuries left, right and centre around that area, I thought only having two centre-backs would have allowed us to, you know, keep refreshing that area when needs to, because Koscielny can't play twice in a week, so I almost don't expect him to see him at West Ham, so we'll have to see what happens there. But personally, I would have gone four at the back.
I think a lot of people wanted to see that today. Ellis, regardless, obviously we started with the back three today. Confident whenever Mertesacker comes in, generally speaking, he's a pretty good substitute to bring in at times. I know, obviously, performance-wise, we'll get into later, but just before the game, it didn't worry you or anything?
No, to be honest, that's the same as Josh. I thought we might go back to the back four that we had done at the end of the Man United game and during that Champions League game. Slip of the tongue. But yeah, I thought we might go back to a back four, but I suppose, given what happened today, we didn't look any more solid with a back four anyway. So I suppose I can see why he's still stuck with the back three. And like you say, I wasn't really worried about Mertesacker coming in. Like, there was last season, obviously, in the FA Cup when he had a really good game and he hadn't played hardly any minutes at all. So I wasn't too worried. But it's just the same old story, really, isn't it? Sort of didn't really start well enough and some individual errors. But I'm sure we'll come on to that in a bit.
Yeah, so we'll dive straight into the game, and it didn't take long for Southampton to take the lead. I predicted Charlie Austin to score first. Sadly, I predicted Arsenal to win 2-1, so I didn't get the full prediction. I wasn't celebrating when he scored, obviously, but I thought, this is fine, we'll come back into it. Josh, the defence at the start of the game and that goal, I mean, it was just all over the place for 10 minutes, but that goal in particular just talked me through it. Players getting pulled out of position, Per, Nacho, that back three looked like it hadn't played together for a long time, which is surprising.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was Tadic that picked the ball up. Personally, I thought he had a really good game, caused our back four or back three a lot of problems, just dropping into that pocket of space in front of Nacho and Per, and exploited it really well to play in Charlie Austin. I think Per personally should have done a little bit better with the tussle, but he was the wrong side. So after that happens, you either try and bring him down early on and risk getting sent off in the first few minutes, or you know, let him through, and that's what happened. Koscielny couldn't get across to cover, and he just put it past Petacek. I'm surprised it's taken, you know, 8 minutes for them to score, because I think they started really quickly anyway. And otherwise, from that, it did look like we were off to the same kind of thing that we were last weekend against Man United, that we're going to give a team, you know, a couple of goals, and then we'll start playing to see if we can match that score.
Yes, same thing, Ellis, happened in the Man United game. We started slowly and made some silly errors. The goal itself, I think Mertesacker tried to play a ball out and gave it away, and Tadic was there, as Josh said, to pounce on it. These lapses at the start of games are really costing us, and teams seem to be exploiting it more and trying to press onto our back three. Particularly today, Southampton did, I thought, for spells in the first half, at least. Obviously, they set off in the second. After they scored the goal, they had a couple more opportunities, and the same thing kept happening. No one was adjusting to what Southampton were doing at all. It was really lazy, sort of lacking any communication in the back there.
Yeah, definitely. I think a better team may have scored like maybe even three goals against us in that first half. And there's obviously chances as well in the second half where they could have scored a few more. But luckily for us, unluckily for them, they didn't manage to do that. But yeah, it's just another slow start. And it's hard to really get around this, because it is sort of a lot of individual errors, but a lot of the defence just don't seem comfortable at all. And like you say, like, teams have started to pick up on this. They close us down. Southampton started really well and were a nice lot of pace, and they're getting involved. And conversely, obviously, we didn't do that. And I think that's what's happened a lot. Obviously, happened against Man United, and it's happened again today. It's something that we need to sort out. But I don't know how you coach that, because, again, like, the first goal is an individual error. But also, positionally wise, we're talking about in our little WhatsApp group about Nacho Monreal being out of position. And as well, you've got to think about how far apart Xhaka and Ramsey are. Those guys, as good as Ramsey is going forward, and Xhaka is good with his sort of distribution, they're not really protecting that back three. And then obviously the wing backs are getting quite far forward, and positionally we're not great. And when we do make these individual errors, which everyone in our back three are capable of doing it, even Koscielny, we've seen him do it. Monreal's obviously done it before. Mertesacker can do it. They're all capable of making those individual errors. But the thing is, the guys aren't really in the positions to help them when they do. And I think sometimes when we make those errors, if someone like, say, Nacho Monreal, and the Mertesacker's goal is a bit more closer and tighter, that goal can be prevented, or the chance can be prevented. But it's difficult. I don't know if that's something to do with our coaching, whether it's not enough coaching, or if it is just something mentality-wise that our players have. Who knows?
Yeah, it seems like one... Like you say, one individual error can be exploited so much more, just because if one person is remotely out of position, the whole team just kind of crumbles. Everything has to be perfectly in place for us. It's the same thing with our attacking play as well, I think. Yeah. If anything is slightly out of place, then it just doesn't come off for us.
And you see a lot as well, sort of, we saw it in the first half quite a bit. Someone make an individual error, I think. It might have been the first or second half, but the one that springs to mind is Koscielny made a good interception, then passed the ball back to him. They then had the ball. They then chipped over. He then intercepted with a header, headed it straight to a Southampton player, and then someone else can fly in front. It just seems like a catalogue of errors. Like, everyone just seems to shit the bed whenever the first error gets made.
Yeah. They don't know where to look to, or the same thing happened when a couple of times, especially in the first half, Koscielny and Bellerin had the ball in sort of our right-back position, were being pressured. And instead of just doing the sensible thing and clearing it, they were trying to play through, and they automatically do the same thing every single time, regardless of the situation they're in, which is, you can't apply that rule to everything, because sometimes you're going to get caught by it, and we did a few times today. Josh, back to you. You know, Southampton kept this kind of press for a while. After 15, 20 minutes, the game calmed down a little bit and we started to get hold of the ball. At that point, did you feel, okay, we've conceded the early goal, some stupid early pressure, but we're starting to take control back now. We've got plenty of time to get into this. Were you still confident we could get something out of the game?
There were certainly moments in that first half where I don't think we really looked like getting back into the game at all. I think it was only the last 5 minutes of that half that we really started to apply some pressure and almost get through that Saints back line, because they were great today. And there's no way around not saying that. Yes, we were poor, but Southampton was superb today. That back three, even when we looked to brought Giroud on airily, that defence is absolutely incredible. So it had to be, played low and those kind of little balls to get in and around them. But I think all of the moves we had were broken up by the similar kind of source that we've seen all season. I'm sure we'll name him at some point, but I think we all know who we're talking about in this. But otherwise, I thought it was one of those that we need to get to half time at 1-0, can't concede anymore, and go on from there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think our chances in the first half. The only two I can think of, there was Lacazette brought the ball down quite nicely and sort of turning at a blind shot. And unfortunately, it was straight to Forster. I think either side of him, it probably would have been a goal. But it was good skill to bring it down, because I think he had Yashida and Van Dijk on him. And the other one, Ellis, was the Ramsey shot that produced a really good save from Forster, probably his best one in the match.
Yeah, it was a good, well-worked goal. And I thought, fucking hell, this is going to happen again. I started to think, are we going to have another situation like we did with De Gea and Man United? But it didn't really shape up that way. We didn't really have many shots at a goal after that. And I thought Ramsey was unlucky not to score then. It was a good save from Fraser Forster, who's someone that I think a lot of the guys in the podcast seem to like quite a bit, and I wouldn't mind us having a look at him after Cech moves on, because after that, I'm not really sure who you've got to take the gloves in the goal there. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But yeah, I thought Ramsey took it quite well. I think other chances, well, there was that, I don't know if we'll come on to it, is that the first half one? Lacazette had that shot, blazed it over the bar, but then someone clattered right into him. Was that in the first half?
I think that might have been second half. I'm not sure. Yeah, that is definitely a talking point, because I know a few people wanted to ask about that, whether that's a penalty or not. We'll cover that now. I know we're jumping around the game a little bit. but sorry. No, it's fine. I already can't remember whether it was first or second half. I'm so tired.
Who knows?
I don't understand this, because... So I think everyone, just for people in the chat and who are listening, Lacazette has a shot, he blasted it over. Yoshida comes sliding in. I think that, I'm not sure if the ball had gone out of play by that point. It was near going out of play anyway. He's clearly trying to get the ball and pull out the tackle, but he makes contact with Lacazette and wipes him out completely. None of the Arsenal players appealed for a penalty. And I don't understand how, if you kick someone, whether they've got the ball or not, whether the ball's in or out of play, surely that's a foul. I don't understand how that isn't a penalty. Mm. It's really confusing. And what's more worrying is that none of our players appealed for it. It was a bit like last weekend when Danny Welbeck got taken out, when he did the little chop back, and none of the players appealed again then. I don't know if you guys saw it as well. Did you think that was a penalty when that happened?
Yeah, we were having a bit of an argument in our little chat as well on WhatsApp with the people who play pro clubs. Like, a few of us are saying it's not a penalty, and obviously, like, by the rules, the phase has ended argumentatively. Obviously, you said you don't know if the ball's actually gone out of play or not, and it's hard to tell. But he has shot, and it's definitely going wide. It's not a goal-scoring opportunity. But, like, my argument was, if someone does that in the middle of the pitch, that's a late tackle, and that's definitely a foul. And like, especially if someone, for example, Xhaka does that to a Southampton player, he's probably looking at a red card, because he's got that sort of reputation and everyone sort of moans about how bad he is at tackling. Yeah. But I don't understand. Maybe Josh understands the rules a bit better than me, but I still think, like, if you're not even like shooting, and say someone else comes through the back of you in the penalty box and another player's got the ball, that's going to be a penalty. You're not shooting, but you've been wiped out in the box. And this, the same sort of happened there. I don't really understand that, because he has been wiped out. Fair enough, he's missed his chance, but he's still been wiped out in the box. Like, something should happen there. Like, the defender should at least get, I don't know, a yellow card for following through on him.
Yeah, Josh, what do you think on that?
It's not a penalty. either by the letter of the law or just the consistency of the referee that we saw. So with the argument that if that happens in the middle of the pitch, well, funnily enough, in this game, it actually happened later in the second half with Koscielny on Charlie Austin. Charlie Austin's clean through. Koscielny clips him on the back of the heel. No free kick given, because Koscielny could easily have walked at that moment.
Yeah.
Because he's about 30 yards out or so when he goes in.
I think in that situation, though, I think the referee thought he'd actually got the ball, because even the commentators thought he'd got the ball until you saw the replay. I don't think it's a case of...
Well, I know it's up to interpretation, but I think he gives, you know, no foul from there. Because it's the same thing. Charlie Austin is not in control of the ball at that point. Lacazette, after he's had that shot, is no longer in control of the ball. So him coming through and getting wiped out is a moot point, personally. And I think that's the angle that it's seen from, that Lacazette has managed to get his shot away cleanly. Although, you know, his contact with it isn't necessarily clean. By the letter of the law, he's got a clean strike on the ball, hasn't been impeded. He's blazed it over the bar, and then a player's come through and taken him out whilst trying to block. There's a little bit of intent in there, but for me, as we saw with the Koscielny chance, that the referee has at least managed both situations identically, because we could have been a man down if he was giving the penalty and giving that Koscielny chance.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, like, just sort of reading people's, like, talking about the penalty here in the chat box, it's kind of split. Some people are calling it a pen. Some people are saying it's not a pen. I don't know. It's one of those weird ones. I do get your argument, though, Ellis, that it is one of those typical things where certain fouls you see outside the box, they're given. You do exactly the same thing inside the box, they don't give it. And this kind of feels a little bit like that, but I think Josh is right. The ref did, you know, he did referee the game the same for both teams, at least on those two occasions anyway. As for the rest of the first half, I mean, other than those two chances, like we said, the Ramsey one and the Lacazette little spin and stuff, there wasn't anything else at all that we really did. We had a lot of the ball, but didn't really press our possession into any clear chances. Going into the second half, Ellis, you first. Was there anything that you wanted to see different coming out second half? Was there a change you wanted to see immediately, or were you happy to send the same players out and sort of keep it with that same 11 for 10-15 minutes?
I would have liked perhaps a reverse the back four, get maybe another attacking player on there and probably take the game by the scruff of the neck, but we seem to do that anyway with the same formation. Like, the way they come out was quite good, but Southampton, obviously, they decided they're just going to put men behind the ball and try and defend, and they'd done it very well, but I think perhaps they probably tried to do it for too long, and we were had lots of possession on them. We couldn't break them down fair enough, and it did take a long time until Giroud came on and across in the box, something different from what we had been trying for the whole of the match for us to score. But yeah, I would have liked maybe a return to the back four, probably bring off Mertesacker and bring on another attacking player and just try and take the game by the scruff of the neck. But it eventually materialised that we did that anyway. So to be honest, I'm not too fussed with what happened. And we got there. Like, maybe if we had done it at half time, it might have been a different story, but we didn't. And that's where we are now. But who knows?
Yeah. Josh, at the start of the second half, we came out and I thought we were much more... We were still lacking a little bit of penetration, but we were certainly forcing Southampton back a lot more than I thought that we did in the first half.
Yeah, definitely. I think I personally would have brought on another player. I'm not sure who would have taken off, but, you know, because there were so many options at that time. I think Monreal had an awful first half, as did Mertesacker. I think Bellerin was poor. And yeah, Alexis has just been awful for the past, I think, couple of months since Chile have been knocked out of getting to the World Cup. But I thought the movement was really good in those kind of starting periods of the game. I think slowly we moved on and we were a little bit lackluster with that movement. But everything that was good, I think, was coming through Mesut Ozil, with him kind of having to drop deep. We saw him take up that position in the end, but it was that kind of infuriating Southampton getting all their men back and us having to pass it around the back to try and find the spaces, which eventually I just don't think we could find them in the end, which was really, really irritating. And I'm sure everyone else is irritated by exactly that. And that's why we've got a lot of anger with this result.
Yeah, West London goon. I've seen more penetration at a convention of eunuchs. Well put. that might win comment of the day. So we, you know, we had a lot of the ball, but still struggling to break it down. It's got to be said, like you said earlier, Josh, I was very impressed with Southampton's defending. I mean, everyone knows how good Van Dijk is, but is it Jack Stevens? Is that his?
Yeah, Jack Stevens.
Yeah, I was really impressed by him today. I hadn't really seen a lot of him before. He was very good. Bertrand as well, down the left-hand side, I thought was excellent as well. He's a player I've liked for some time. So we make the first sub. And again, this is, we saw it a couple of times at the end of last season. I know everyone sort of saw the back three as this big success, but we did in games where we were chasing it or needed the goal switch to a back four again. And it's nice to have that flexibility. I understand that. But Mertesacker comes off, who I don't think had the best of games. He certainly wasn't the only one. We'll get on to the others in a minute. Danny Welbeck comes on. Ellis, would that have been your first choice off the bench? Because I saw lots of people crying out for Jack Wilshere.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would have gone straight for Danny Welbeck. I probably would have, like you said, like a lot of people have said, gone for Jack. But I think that is the problem with the going, reverting back to the back four. We don't really have a sort of personnel to do it sort of mid-game. Like, I think if we start like it, we can set up correctly. But bringing on Danny Welbeck and taking Mertesacker off and then having sort of a midfield free, I think this is what had happened. It was hard to tell by the sort of movement of Ozil, but it looked like obviously keeping Xhaka and Ramsey there and then Mesut Ozil a bit further forward of them. But it's so hard to tell because sort of Ozil sort of drifts in and out and goes where he wants. Same with Alex Sanchez. But it did leave us open a lot, I thought, because I mentioned it earlier before we in the first half when we started, Ramsey and Xhaka seemed so far apart. And Ramsey, as good as he is, he does tend to go farther forward. And Granit Xhaka, he's not really an out-and-out holding midfielder. So there's no real sort of person sat there protecting the back four. And even if Xhaka is told to sort of do that role, I don't think he really suits it. And I don't think he's very good at it. So it may not have been my first choice. And I think Jack Wilshere coming in, and when he did come on, you did see that he drawed a couple of fouls, he could break the lines. And he's not, like I said, I've mentioned about us not having an out-and-out holding midfield. He's not that either. But I think I probably would have gone with that instead of bringing on straight on Danny Welbeck later, maybe bring on Danny Welbeck a bit later on the half when we're still chasing that goal. But I did think when we reverted back to the back four, we looked so vulnerable. It was a case of sort of everyone flowing forward, and you didn't know if we were going to get caught on the break, and maybe against a better team who were a bit better going forward, we may have been caught on the break a lot worse. But Southampton luckily didn't take their chances, and we just kept hammering that sort of two back four lines that they had there protecting the ball, and eventually we got a goal from it. But yeah, I think I would have gone for Jack as well, but I'm not the manager, am I?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't long until Jack came on, and it was Xhaka ultimately who was sacrificed for him. I'm not going to answer that sub too much. The one I do want to talk about, Josh, and we'll get into... We did a goal first because I want to talk about Alexis Sanchez as a separate thing, so we'll talk about the sub in a minute. But Giroud comes on. First touch, unfortunately, gives the ball away, much to a few people's chagrin in the chat I was in, chatting away, going, oh no, we've got no movement. Look, here comes the French lamppost. And of course, he comes on and proves us all wrong. What's the stat you told me earlier, Josh, about him and was it Solskjaer?
Yeah. He has now overtaken Solskjaer's record for coming off the bench and scoring goals. I think he's now level with Kanu, and Jermaine Defoe is above him on, I think, 23, and he's got 17 so far, which is crazy because Giroud's only really been on the bench for a few games, well, really consistently this season.
That's really impressive record. And I've spent plenty of time on here criticising Giroud, and he frustrates me. But when he comes off the bench, he just seems to score goals. The man who set it up, obviously, Alexis Sanchez, nice ball in. We will cover him in a second. But yeah, Giroud just seems to deliver when he comes on the pitch from the bench. I don't know what it is when he starts. He obviously does score goals when he starts games as well, but something about coming off the bench. I think, you know, if you're playing against a slightly more tired defence, he is physical when he does battle. And I know people say he goes over a little bit too easy sometimes, but I do think having that slightly tired defence helps him out, and he can overpower people against, you know, Van Dijk, who is, I don't know whether you'd put him as the top centre-back in the league, but he's arguably one of the best. He's certainly in the top five. So very impressive, and you can see Van Dijk how annoyed he was. I want to go into individual performances, and we'll get back to that sub. Giroud, when he came on for Lacazette again, which a lot of people were annoyed about. Lots of people want to see them two play together because they've done it in the French national team, and they seem to do it quite successfully. And the certain player wasn't taken off was Alexis Sanchez. Josh, please feel free to have a rant now, because I know you've got plenty to say about this guy.
Oh my God, Alexis Sanchez. I've been saying it for so long, and finally everyone's kind of seeing it, for him covering up these kind of performances with a goal or an assist. And my God, was he awful. I think even after we scored the goal, we then had two opportunities to snatch a late winner. Both of them broke up when the ball gets to Alexis, and he's like, oh, I'm going to pass it, but, you know, there's a defender in front of me. Why not just pass it through the defender? Because they're obviously a ghost. I think his passing all game was awful. Even if it was getting to the man, it was behind him. I don't think I saw him play a single pass where it went into the stride of the man. So if you look to Ozil's passing today, almost every pass goes in front of the man, so that he can run on. It doesn't have to break his step to collect the ball and can play a quick ball in. Whereas you looked at what Alexis was doing, and every ball was behind him, and he was the one sucking the pace out of our build-up play constantly. And I would have taken him off at half-time. Actually, I probably wouldn't have started him, but that's a different kind of point. I'd have brought on maybe a Wobi to play instead of him, but still, we can't have a player like this. This is basically unraveling all of our offensive movement. I'm absolutely shocked that we've kind of kept him in this place, and I feel this is the time to start dropping him now from games. I'd even bring Theo Walcott in, because he was a lot more effective in the last game, which would be perfect in this, where we needed a bit of width. We didn't really need an extra player dropping deep to try and pick up a ball. We needed someone to push that defence back and back to create space and for the rest of our midfielders, which wasn't happening, because as great as Lacazette is, he's not going to be that imposing target or push a defence back like you'd get with a Giroud or a Walcott, in the case of his pace makes the defence drop back to make sure that he can't utilise it. And Van Dijk and Stevens, and Van Dijk in, as a player generally, is absolutely huge. I saw him for the first time in the flesh only a couple of months ago when Southampton came down to Brighton, and the guy looks like a heavyweight boxer. He's absolutely massive. I've seen Giroud, and Giroud doesn't even compare. He would look like a midget next to him.
Yeah.
So that's not the way you'd need to play. You needed a bit more creativity, and Alexis was just not great at all. He wasn't even tracking back, which was at least one thing that we had for him. There were moments when he'd lose the ball and he'd just look up at everyone and say, well, where were my options? Rather than what we saw a little bit from him last season, was he was at least tracking that back on that man to try and win the ball again early to get the turnover. But anybody could have put that cross in, I think. Personally, it wasn't a special ball that he played. So, yeah, I think overall...
Yeah, there's quite a few people in the chat saying, you know, you got the assist. And I agree. Like, and I'm probably the out of the whole group, lot of the podcast boys, I'm Alexis's biggest fan. Lots of people not turned on him, but, you know, said, I think we can do better, and he's sort of going south. And I don't think anyone on the pod is ever going to say... you know, Alexis hasn't contributed to the club, because his previous seasons at the club, basically, if we didn't have him, we wouldn't have won FA Cups and wouldn't have got top four finishes when we did, I think, without him, because at times he really did carry the team on his own. So no one's doubting his contribution. But this season, he has been way off form. I gave him a bit of a pass for a while because he came back, and I think he was, you know, he was late back from international duty, and he was clearly upset about the Chile thing, and with the contract talks and everything else, you can kind of see, oh, maybe it's going to, you know, be a little bit difficult for him to come back in form, but it's just not happening for him at all. He wasn't the only player today, because Jeffrey O'Hara saying, you know, Arsenal fans just scapegoating again. I agree, he did carry us for the seasons he was here before, previous, but he wasn't the only bad player today. But the issue is, like Josh said, he causes big problems in the final third, that we lose the ball, and then because we play so high up, which is not Alexis's fault individually, but because Ramsey and Xhaka do push up so high, and we play with this back three, so the two of the centre backs do tend to push up quite high, that if we turn the ball over, we do get exposed quickly. Ellis, the whole thing with this Alexis thing, like, so today he's probably the worst performer on the pitch for us, arguably. People could debate whether it was him. Bellerin was very poor as well, and a few other players. Do you think the manager is too scared to take him off? And that's why I didn't take him off today, because I didn't think Lacazette did anything wrong to be subbed off. And we've seen before, he can quite comfortably play from the left if you bring Giroud on. He's quite happy to do that and sacrifice himself for the team. So is it a case of the manager just too scared to bring off Alexis, or is he just not seeing what we're all seeing?
I can't believe that someone like Arsene Wenger can't see what we're all seeing. And again, like you, I've tried to defend Alexis Sanchez, but it's getting quite hard to defend him now. And I think the reason is because he doesn't want to be here, quite frankly. And I think, like, the point that Josh made of him, when he did make the mistakes, he tracked back and at least try and win it back. Now he doesn't do that. And I think that is just because of his mentality. He doesn't want to be at the club. He's sort of had enough of whatever illusions he had of the club before, or whatever he thought about the club. He doesn't think the same now, and he wants to leave. And he didn't get that move in the summer, and whether he likes it or not, he is with us now. And I think the argument I think Wenger would use is he is, other than Ozil, our best player in the team, not currently, and in form wise definitely not, but in terms of what he's done for the club, in terms of what he does do for the club when he's in form, he's one of our best players. And I think when other fans hear Arsenal fans like Josh and like ourselves and people in the pod complaining about Alexis Sanchez saying he should go and basically moaning about how many times he turns at the ball, loses possession, breaks up an attack, they get confused because they don't watch Arsenal every day or every week or whenever they play, and they just see him popping up. Like Josh says, he masks his poor performances with these goals, with these assists, and they just see that, and they've seen him when he was in form, and he hasn't been in form recently. I don't want to say that Arsene Wenger is scared to take him off, but I think he may, like, my argument would be he probably thinks he can create something out of nothing. And today, like Josh says, he masked up his poor performance with an assist for a goal. But I would have taken him off. A lot of people probably would have taken him off. Sanchez probably should have come off when Giroud came on, and Lacazette, I thought, was playing well and was trying his best and wasn't turning the ball over, was making some good chances. It would have been nice to see him play together, but Wenger's got this thing where he has to take Giroud, Alex Lacazette off and put Giroud on. And I suppose he could probably argue that in the end it worked, but it's hard to say because we'll never know, because Sanchez stayed on and Lacazette came off. But it's difficult. I think for me, we don't really have, like Josh said, maybe he would have started Iwobi, and probably that is the obvious choice to go for if you're going to drop Sanchez. But I still think that even with Sanchez's form at present, I don't know. I think he offers a bit more than Iwobi going forward. Maybe not in terms of breaking up attacks, and Iwobi may be a bit more fluid for us going forward as a whole team. But if we are going to lose Sanchez, there's no two ways about it. He's either going to go in January, even though Wenger says he's not going to sell anyone in January, or he's going to go in the free in summer. But we do need to get someone in to replace him. I don't think, for me, Iwobi can be that player to replace Alexis. It's either going to have to be a formation change or get someone in, really.
Yeah. I mean, the Sanchez thing is so... I really don't know what you do with him.
I do think...
Yeah, it's... It's so weird. I think there's maybe there's a case of, Josh, do you think Arsene perhaps thinks there's still some, Arsene's generally speaking quite a positive guy and tries to put a positive spin on everything if he can. He seems to have that kind of outlook. Do you think in the back of his mind there's a, if I keep playing Alexis, maybe I can convince him to stay at the club, maybe I can get him to sign another deal, and that's why he doesn't want to take him off?
No, I think personally this is Wenger trying to get a player through bad form by still playing them. We saw this with Iwobi last season. We're kind of seeing it with Bellerin. We've seen it with Rambo. This is a kind of a case of Wenger going, well, if I keep the player out there, eventually he'll come good. And I think that's what we're seeing with Alexis. Yes, he was superb last season, but just, as I've said, look at him in the build-up play and he does not help us. We can either all play like Alexis, or we can play as the team that we're trying trying to set out with. And personally, I think with the greater good of what the team is doing, it's greater than Alexis. And at that point, he needs to try and join in with what we're trying to do instead of trying to make it the Alexis show. I know we do need certain selfishness in players. You know, Henri used to dictate the whole play, but at least he was consistent. And you're looking at Alexis now, and his, even when he's not playing, he's not getting assists or not getting goals, he's not really offering anything to the game other than whinging.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I will be the first fan and first person on ABW who will moan about Sanchez, and then if he starts putting in performances, I will flip-flop straight away and say he's the greatest player in the world. So nothing but consistency from me. just to wind everyone up. The other player I wanted to highlight, and again, I'm not trying to dig out individual players, but just over a couple of games, you see performances, and it's something that needs to be talked about. Hector Bellerin, Ellis. Again, today, his delivery, final delivery hasn't been great, hasn't really improved. I know he's still young, but he's been playing, you know, first team football now for a long time. Do you think a lack of competition is part of the reason why his form has dipped so much? I know lots of people say it's his hair. And yeah, I agree, the haircut is stupid. I mean, I can't say a lot because, I mean, look at mine. But is it that, you know, we don't really have anyone else pushing him? So he's just playing week in, week out. So he doesn't have to, you know, really prove himself because he knows he's going to get picked every week.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely hair. That's scientifically proven that it's there. But another argument could be the fact, like, yeah, he hasn't got anyone pushing him for a place. He is, like, in terms of people in the squad, there's Debuchy, who has obviously played in the Europa League and got that nice goal. And he's played a few games, Europa League, B team sort of football. But there isn't really anyone sort of for the first team that's going to replace him and take his spot. And I think that does offer some complacency. And I think it's the same whatever position across the pitch. Like, if you know there's no one in the squad who's challenging you for your position, then you don't really have to bust a gut. And I think also, I think it's partly due to getting his head turned probably by the Barcelona rumours in the summer. And he's another player, I think, his head's not quite in it as such. And there was all the talk about him carrying an injury last season and losing a bit of pace. And he just doesn't seem to have it. He seemed to bottle a lot of challenges or a lot of those sort of 50-50 balls he'd bottle out of. And he doesn't seem to try and run at players and take the ball around him and use his pace. And he has, it looks like he's lost a bit of pace as well. I'd like to see him in a race with Theo Walcott again and see what's going on there. But there is something not right with Hector, whether that is a case of he's got no one pushing for him in that position, whether it's a case of he's had his head turned by Barcelona, his head's not quite in it. It's probably a mixture of both, to be honest, but something needs to change there, because this isn't the first poor game he's had this season. He's had a fair few poor games. He's really, for me, been anonymous a lot of the times. When the past few seasons, he'd be sort of in that build-up play, and you'd think playing as right wing-back, he'd thrive in that position. And he does get far forward, but he doesn't really create much. There's times a day when he'd get in towards that crossing area and the cross wasn't good enough, or he'd make a pass that just didn't seem right, and the player is receiving it wasn't really expecting to receive it at all. And it's just something not quite right with Hector. And like I said, I don't know if it is a case he's got his head turned or if it's just he's got no one pushing for him, but it's definitely the hair. So he needs a haircut and everything will be saved.
Josh, there was one break today. I think it was in the first half. We had three players breaking forwards against, it might have just been two Southampton defenders. It was the one time we really caught them out. Hector got the ball and he passed it. It was on his left foot. But he passed the ball and it was sort of behind Lacazette, which forced Lacazette to then have to, he took a poor touch. And I think Stevens came in and made a tackle. His decision-making just doesn't seem to be there at the moment. And his speed of thought isn't there either with his passing. Is that an area you'd look to maybe try Debuchy? I mean, Arsene said that he doesn't see Debuchy as a right wing-back, but his performance here, I know it was against a poor Barté side, but surely you've got to give him a go there, because Hector's just not doing it, is he?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one with Debuchy. I think if we went to a back four, then I'd happily bring him in. I think there's something about him being a wing-back that I don't think he's box-to-box enough. He'd at least have an opportunity to kind of sit back and defend. It's a bit like when we were looking at last season with the back four, that we always looked good when we had the balance of one of our fullbacks pushing on and the other one sitting. So yeah. It was always Monreal who was sitting and Bellerin was flying forward. Well, we could always just switch that and have build the back four in, put Debuchy, who's going to sit back, and then you've got Kolasinac that's absolutely flying up the wing, being that box-to-box one. And that's where I'd look to bring him in. And then you're pushing Bellerin. Unless you want to bring in Maitland-Niles, I think he's the only other person in that squad that can push Bellerin for that position. But I'm not sure if he can do that at this moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good at left wing back in the Europa League. I know it's different level of opposition, but I don't think that's Maitland-Niles' position. I think he's a centre mid, really. But and he is right footed, so maybe it is someone who could look at there. But I do think it's definitely an area in our team I think we need to address, because I think any time you have a player who is basically knows his name's going to be on the team sheet, has no competition, has no one really pushing him, they won't develop. It's different if it's a 28-year-old, you know, experienced player who knows the level he's got to perform at. Hector's still got development to do at his age. So it's definitely something I'd like to see, maybe that, whether they do it in January or not, I don't know. As for the rest of the team, there wasn't anyone really I wanted to pick out too much. Xhaka, again, I saw getting a lot of stick today. He misplaced some passes. It's true, but I don't think he was as bad as maybe people criticise him. There was a few questions actually on Granit Xhaka and what type of player he really is. I just wanted to ask both of you, Josh first, considering the amount of chances Southampton had, they didn't take, and the fact that we had, I think, two shots on goal in the first half and two in the second half, one which we scored from. Are you not happy? You're obviously not happy with a point. We wanted three today, but considering the performance we put in, are you happy with the point?
Yeah, considering the first half that we had, I'm kind of disappointed with the result after the second half we had, because I think we could have scored a couple more goals. But yeah, if we're looking at it in balance, then yeah, we could have easily have conceded more in the first half and we could easily have scored more in the second. So a draw kind of makes sense in the end.
Yeah. Ellis, looking at us now in the league, we're level with Liverpool. We're yet to play, obviously. 3 points behind Chelsea in third and 6 behind United, who are playing today, who, you know, I hope they get stuffed by Man City, to be honest. The league's well gone. Is December our new November? That's the big question, because everyone was surprised. We came out in November and we'd like got all these results. So have we just shifted it a month for some reason where there's more games in just to annoy us even more?
Yeah, probably. That seems like the case, really, doesn't it? All right. To be honest, we don't always have the best December anyway. So maybe it is a bit of a delay. Maybe it's been knocked on a bit. But hopefully, if it keeps going this trend, our shit month will keep moving further and further. And then our shit month will be like August and it'll be right because we're going to be playing. So it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if we could get our shit month to be like June, July,
yeah,
or like pre-season, that'd be great. That'd
exactly.
Be perfect. Just a couple more years, we'll get there.
It will exactly. We'll be fine.
Does that mean the March one has shifted? Because we've got that one that always comes up.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah.
Actually, if March has shifted. Oh, no, because that's when cup final is.
Yeah, we've shifted it today. Yeah.
What about if March doesn't shift and then we get like a really doubly shit 2 months in a row?
I don't think I could do that.
We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Well, no, if it's 2 months in a row and then you've got the summer and you don't have to worry about football, then maybe.
Yeah.
We can
only hope.
We're open to take any questions from the chat. I've got a few already from some people, but please do fire away any in the chat box. We'll pick them up. We're going to start off with one. Jovi82, I think he's left the chat now, but he said he will be listening back later on. Josh, does Giroud deserve a place in our starting 11 next game ahead of Lacazette?
Ooh. I would say not ahead of Lacazette. I think he does deserve a place, but I'd look to play two up front because we're playing West Ham next, aren't we?
Yeah.
So against David Moyes, a little enlarge up front. That's what I'd go with, and Ozil in behind them. That would be what I'd go for.
shout. Ellis, what about you? Ellis?
Hello.
Oh,
there you go. Am I breaking up? Are you breaking up?
No, you're fine, mate. So it must be your end, yeah.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, I'd probably agree with Josh, to be honest. I'm a bit worried about that West Ham game. They had a sort of good game against Man City, and eventually Man City went and got the win. And obviously they won against Chelsea as well, so I'm slightly worried. But I don't think Giroud deserves a starting place over Lacazette, and I'd like to see maybe both of them play together.
Okay. Yeah, Giroud for the national team, they sometimes play him with... who's the idiot with the stupid bad blonde hair?
Griezmann.
Yeah.
I thought they were playing him, Lacazette, and then Griezmann was in behind, like a number 10.
Yeah. So, because I've seen it where they had Griezmann there. Sometimes Griezmann, if he comes off, Lacazette sometimes plays in behind Giroud, but he does play wide of him as well on the left, doesn't he? Yeah. So he has done. So they have played together before up front.
Although I'm not sure we should be taking tactical advice from Didier Deschamps.
that is a good point. But if you were going to drop Alexis, but you wanted to keep the firepower, then I think playing Lacazette from the left,
yeah,
then maybe it's something to do. But we're definitely going to need rotation because obviously the game's coming thick and fast now, as they say. Next question. This one is for you, Ellis. From Benny Ogedan. Ogedan, I hope I said that right. Sorry. Apologies if I've murdered that name. Would it have made sense to bring Walcott in, or are we ignoring the Europa League games now? I think it means performances from them.
Maybe not start, but see, it's a difficult one because Walcott frustrates the hell out of me. I, given his performance in Europa League, even if it is against Bate, I'd probably have him on the bench at least, because he does, like Josh said, he offers an option. He is someone that, no matter what our frustrations with him, defenders are going to step away from him because he's got that pace. And I think he would have been a good option to have off the bench, but I wouldn't have started him. I wouldn't have dropped anyone in the starting 11 for him.
Yeah, fair enough. I do think it's interesting he doesn't even get in the squad now. I also found it interesting, good news for Jack, that Jack is now... sort of, you know, is popping up in the squad more than Theo is.
He should be getting some more game time now, considering.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, what is it, 4 games in 12 days?
Ramsey injury as well.
Yeah, we will touch on that in a minute. I'm waiting for a message back from Dom, but I don't know if he's awake yet. Because Dom's got this magic ability where he can see a player for 5 seconds, see whatever they've done, and he'll tell you exactly how long they're going to be out. He's some sort of wizard. I don't know how he does it. We'll go on to the next question. Is from Lazy Python. Josh. Oh, here we go. Another transfer one. Would you swap Alexis for Draxler in January?
Yes, but swap deals never happen. I can think of maybe 2 off the top of my head that actually have ever happened.
Salah just scored.
You got a Cole and the Gallas. That happened. I can't really think of another one now I've come to think of it. But yeah, they're so rare that it's strange that they're mentioned so often, to be honest, because they so rarely actually happen. So I would like to get a player in for Alexis. Draxler, yeah, he'd be a good option. He certainly wants some extra playing time if he wants to try and get in that German squad.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that we can play on in this window, would be... whether or not players want to try and make sure they can get into their World Cup squads. And the fact that Alexis isn't involved in the World Cup means perhaps he's more open to moving.
I can state we've officially made it. We had some sort of porn bot in the chat giving out phone numbers. We've made it, boys.
Was it your phone number?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't my phone number. It's all right. One from Marble Halls TV. Does Wenger think that Xhaka is a ball-busting mid or a box-to-box deep playmaker? Should we bring Coquelin back just to protect the back four? Well, back four, back three. Ellis, what do you think? Should the Cock get a chance? There's a lot of people have been calling for Xhaka to be dropped.
If we went to a back four, then yeah, I think Coquelin should have to start because we need someone like that. I think if you have a back... three, I think Coquelin takes too much away from the team and what he can do. He's not the sort of guy that, as much criticism as Xhaka does get, at least he's got good ball distribution. I think Wenger probably does see him as a sort of a deep line playmaker. I think that's what Jack would probably see himself as well. I think someone said in the podcast he describes himself as like a 10 behind the 10. He's definitely not like a CDM. That's not what he is. And we need someone like that. And Cox is probably the closest thing we have to someone like that. But he's just so... there's a lot that Coquelin isn't very good at. And it does show when he plays games. I think maybe if we reverted to a back four, a three midfield, he'd suit that more. He could be the guy that sits in front of the defence, and then you can have two sort of more attacking-ish minded box-to-box sort of players in front of him, and that would work. But I'm not sure it'd work with a back three, but I'd be willing to give it a go.
Yeah. It always confused me when, as soon as we switched the system, and Xhaka was one of the two men in the middle. I mean, I really like Granit Xhaka and obviously loved him from being at Gladbach and when he was the captain there, but when you saw him play there, he was always playing with players around him who could do the running for him and he could dictate the play. And when you see him for the Swiss national team as well, they always play with three in the middle. I think sometimes we just try and play a formation rather than thinking about what players actually suit it. One for you, Josh, from Jeffrey O'Hara. Would Sanchez work better in the Europa team if we get matched against one of the tougher teams in the knockout stage? Premier League defenders seem to know how to handle him after 3 years of watching him play. Because we could draw someone like Napoli or Dortmund because they're not seeded, are they? So we could be unfortunate with a draw.
Yeah. Well, you say Dortmund.
We could draw Napoli. Yeah,
we could draw Napoli. I think that's the one that we've got to be most worried about, especially as it's after kind of winter breaks for both of those teams. But... I would like to, I feel like if we need to drop Alexis, and Alexis would obviously throw his toys out of the pram because he's about 12 in the head from not playing a game of football, I would try and, drop him out and promote someone from that team. If we're basically using that for our reserve league of a fairly decent standard, then I would, certainly push Alexis into there. I wouldn't say Premier League defences have worked him out. I think he's just trying too hard at the moment. We've seen it when he drops into a bad run of form that he just tries far too hard and just nothing comes off for him. But yeah, I think in the Europa League where he'll get European defences that play slightly differently for him, then there is a chance for him to get into a decent run of form.
Yeah, it's interesting that maybe that he just needs that. He's one of those players that if you drop him, then he just gets worse, doesn't he? He needs games consistently. So when the Europa League comes back around, maybe if he gets played in that, he can find some form again. One from Kevin Lebeck, Ellis. Has Southampton officially overtaken Stoke as our bogey team?
I don't know. Maybe. We've definitely had some very shocking results against them. Maybe we've got two bogey teams now. It's good, isn't it?
I truly think, because everyone says that, we get bad results against Southampton, Stoke. But then I think, West Brom. I'm like, well, but then we beat them. And I was thinking, is it just Tony Pulis, wherever he goes? I don't know. No, like
possibly.
Palace. Was it when he was, was he Palace manager when we lost to them? Was that last season?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think he does just have, it's a Tony Pulis thing about it, rather than which teams he's managing.
So, just look for who the manager is. But, we have had some bad results against Southampton. I think, in fairness to Southampton today, they played well. They deserved at least a point out of the game. Here we go, Josh. One from West London Goon. Virgil van Dijk, is he all that? Loads of rumours about him moving clubs. Obviously, Liverpool was the big one. And sort of crazy fees talking about, I guess not in the transfer market now, like 60 million plus. And there was talk wearing for him. Is he all that? Is he someone you would like to see at Arsenal?
Yeah, the guy's an absolute monster. That's why I think we've started looking at those kind of players. When you see like Kolasinac coming in, the kind of muscle mass that Ozil's put in, I think we also need to highlight how well he played when he kind of dropped into that central midfield position in the second half. The fact that he was hassling players and getting them off the ball. And I think it's very rare that you could praise Mesut Ozil for a defensive performance, but I think during that moment, he was superb. And I think we are seeing now a different type of player coming into the Arsenal team. And I think Van Dijk certainly fits that. And looking at what we need to get in centre-back is, I'm not sure, we've kind of got a generation gap between our centre-backs. We've got one on the way out in Mertesacker. We've got kind of Koscielny, who's on the cusp of that. You've then got Mustafi, who is in the prime kind of period of his life, but we tried to sell him in the summer. And then you've got Chambers and Holding, who in the future will be superb for us. I'd like to see them basically play as our back two centre-backs for the rest of the Europa League campaign, because I think they're good enough to do that. But they're not good enough just yet to be playing week in, week out for Arsenal. So we do need to bring in a centre-back to try and usher them through. And I think Van Dijk could certainly be someone like that. Or you look at the other end and you look for someone who has got about another season or so left in them.
Yeah.
Just so you can not block Chambers and Holding on their way through. Maybe even just go out there and get someone a bit like Jack Stevens. Because that's not the only good game he's ever had for Southampton. The guy is superb. Personally, I wanted someone like Ben Gibson during the summer at Middlesbrough. Again, there's some really good crop of English centre-backs coming through.
Yeah.
And I think any of those three, personally, I'd like to see come in.
Yeah. There's lots of talented, exciting if you're an England fan, except for the young players, until obviously Gareth Southgate gets his hands on them, and then it will go horribly wrong. One from Haroon Shabir. This is both for you. Was this a point gained or two lost, Ellis?
I think it's a point lost, but given the way we played, I think... Oh, 2 points lost, even. Given the way it played, I don't think we can complain about losing 2 points, but it is definitely 2 points that we've lost, I think. In terms of this race to the top four that we're in, it's not going to help. Liverpool are now, well, it's half-time now, but they're 1-0 up. So that'll be some points we've dropped against them, and hopefully City can smash United, and it's a point we've gained towards them. But we just got to do better away from home. We're not really at the moment.
Yeah. Josh, same to you.
I think it's a point gained in the end.
Yeah. Oh, Akib is in the chat. Hello, Akib. He said he was at the game. Jack had a massive go Alexis multiple times.
Yeah, he was also in the Southampton end. He won't tell you that.
Oh, Akib. Yeah. Boo him in chat. Boo him. don't really be nice to him. We like Akib.
Yeah. I'm going to kick him.
Lazy Python also asked, if we revert to a back four, would you play Jacques or Giroud/Welbeck? He did put after this, who would be the extra man to come in? Ellis first, who would be your man to come in if we switched to a back four? Assuming that it would be something like Bellerin, Kos, Mustafi, Kolasinac as your back four, and who's the extra man to come into the team?
I think it depends who you're playing, really. If you're playing sort of a team that's going to attack you, then I'd probably try Coquelin sort of in that sort of holding midfield role and have two sort of more box-to-box players in front of him. But if we're going to play a team that we know aren't really going to come at us, going to sit back and try and defend a lead, then I don't know who I'd bring in. I don't know what I'd do. I might try two up top and go with that.
4-4-2.
What's that called? A little diamond formation. 4-3-1-2. Something like that. I know it's really narrow, but
yeah.
If you've got someone like Lacazette who can go out wide and run out wide, then it's not too bad. And if you've got a player like Aaron Ramsey, when he's fit, who can sort of, he can drift out wide as well. He's played there before and create a bit of width. I think that'd be something interesting to start. Whether it'd work is another thing. And that's the reason why I'm not a manager, because it probably wouldn't work.
Josh, who would be your extra person to bring in?
I think it's depending on who we're playing, as Ella said. But Elneny, I'd put him there in that kind of holding role. So we've seen him play that
centre-back
in a three. We've seen him play that centre-back in a three. Mm. And that's basically the same position when you look at it. So that's who I'd go for, personally.
There's no point in Elneny. He's just an Ilson with longer hair.
Oh, I don't know. I think of him more as the Egyptian James Milner.
Oh, dear.
I'd rather have James Milner. Not right now, actually, to be fair.
Elneny looks like a more interesting person than James Milner. Or maybe
imagine
it's just
if he's
that,
actually
know,
like James
account.
Milner, but just the Egyptian version. And he's like just really boring. I reckon it could be.
For me, on that extra man thing, obviously it's game dependent and who you're playing with, your home or away. But I do think, I'd like to try Jack in there. I think Jack, if he can play deeper, if he's in a three man midfield, I think that's fine. And I think Xhaka would benefit from having someone like Jack who does the like just give you the ball, just lend you the ball for a second and then take it back immediately. And the fact he can take it under pressure, is really good. But I think that if we switch to the back four again, we've got so many attacking options. You've got Welbeck, you've got Iwobi, you've got Giroud, Jack, obviously. You do have other midfielders in there, Elneny, Coquelin. I do think Maitland-Niles can play some Premier League games. I've been really impressed with his recovery pace and his tackling. His final product isn't quite good enough, but I will give him a pass. The fact he's on his left-hand side a lot of the time, which is not his favoured foot, and he's playing massively out of position. There's quite a few there. The last thing I wanted to bring up really before we wrap this up, because we're again trying to keep these to about an hour each week for the shows. Our away form in general has not been great this season. We have scored. This is the weird thing. Whenever anyone says anything about Arsenal's form and they're talking about how it's poor, I always immediately jump to, oh, it's the defence. It will be something to do with the defence, whether it be individual errors or a team error, formation, you know, set pieces, whatever it happens to be that season is the big issue, you know, with the club. But the real thing has been scoring goals. We've scored, including today, only 9 goals away from home. And 5 of those came against a woefully poor Everton side. Josh, have you got any inkling on what that's down to? Are we just nervous away from home? Because our home form has been fantastic this season, you know, barring the obviously United issue. But our away form has just been dreadful. And the fact that we can't score goals is very strange for our team because it's the one thing we've never really struggled that much with.
Yeah, how many away games have we played this season?
I'm just having a look now.
Yeah, I don't think it's too many. But one of the issues is certainly Lacazette is primarily scoring at home. I think almost all of his goals have come at home for us, which certainly doesn't help. So whether or not we need to look at a bit like Man City are doing, I think it's Jesus plays all the home games and Aguero plays all the away games for them. And occasionally they both start together. But whether or not we'd start doing that with Giroud and get him to start the away games for us. But looking at those kind of teams that we're playing, they're all kind of similar as well, aren't they? They're all that, you know, down the bottom of the table, but they've got a really progressive, tactically astute manager involved in there, looking at particularly Watford and Southampton. They're the two teams that you'd look at. And I think that is the issue that we're looking at is scoring goals. I'd look at maybe bringing Giroud in to start that. I think if Welbeck hadn't got that injury early on, this probably wouldn't have occurred because I think he had such a good start to the season that he would have got us through a couple of these dodgy games. Hopefully with him coming back, perhaps we'll look at starting him instead of Lacazette up front. I think that would be where we might get a few more in, or replacing him for Alexis, because I think that's what happened beforehand, wasn't it?
Alexis came back
late and Welbeck had that spot on the left-hand side. I think I'd look to do that and hopefully Welbeck can bolster the goal-scoring run from us.
I mean, Alexis's poor form is obviously going to have something to do with it. He's got 4 goals, I think, all season. You consider the past 2 seasons, he's got 20, I don't know, something like over 25-ish, both seasons, I think it was. So the away game, so away to Stoke, lost 1-0, away to Liverpool was 4-0, away to Chelsea was 0-0, which you take that as a good result. Away to Watford, obviously we lost, away to Man City, away to Cologne, although that's Europa League, but again, we didn't score. And then obviously today we did score, but you take those five goals away from the Everton game, that is really, really poor. So it's definitely something you need to look at. But I think that's going to wrap us all up for today. Thank you for everyone in the chat. I know some of you turned up, couldn't get it till late. Sorry we couldn't get your win. Sorry that I'm hosting and every time I do, we don't seem to win. I will make sure that Jason is on again and we get some Welsh justice. Maybe we should send him over to the training ground and he'll sort the team out as well. But just needed to say thank you for Josh for coming on today.
Cheers, John.
Thank you, Ellis, as well.
Thanks for having me.
We will let Ellis go back to bed because he looks knackered.
I've got to make a roast now.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. But yeah, thank you to everyone again for all being in the chat and everything. We still like your beard. Thank you very much, Benny. I like my beard as well. It's nice at the moment with all the snow. But yeah, if you can, leave us a thumbs up, subscribe as well. If you didn't enjoy it, give us a thumbs down as well. That's perfectly fine. We don't mind. Be sure to check out this week's podcast. It is this week's. It's next week. This week coming, we start recording again on a Thursday night. I got the week wrong. And that will continue until the Europa League is back. So we'll go back to what the old system was. I'm not sure who's on the pod this week, but you'll find out. We'll be back again for the next game, which is it West Ham next?
Yeah, it's West Ham midweek.
Yeah, another away game. Away to West Ham. But after that, it's all right. We've got three home games in a row. So yeah, we'll be back Wednesday night. So if you can, join us then. Thank you for watching, everyone. We've been ABW Radio, and we'll see you very soon.